Another good story is one we've came across last week. Our producer, Frankie Dettori, Italian jockey friend, he came across this stat last week. We wanted to talk to the man involved himself. Ted Potter is his name, Collingwood fullback from the 1960s. He joins us on The Breakfast Club. Good morning, Ted.
Good morning, guys.
Great to have you with us. Thank you for your time on a Monday morning. We've been looking through archives and stat books and all that type of thing. With not a lot of sport going on, we're looking back in memory lane and seeing what quirky things we can chat about on the program at times. And your name popped up because you hold the record, Ted, for the most amount of games in the VFL AFL with zero goals. 182 for no goals. Did you ever get close, Ted?
No, I probably got down the centre forward. I was never a long kick anyway. But you know, in those days, you weren't allowed to leave your man.
Yeah.
You weren't allowed to run off the ball, as it were. And if you did, and he got a goal, well, you're in trouble. You know. So it was very much regimented like that. And not many backmen sort of did get down there to kick a goal.
I was thinking that in the build-up to the interview, because I remember Bobby Rose said, I read a quote from him saying, in 1991, you're a coach's dream, one of the finest tacklers I've ever seen, played very tight, was quick and a good mark. You're also a fitness fanatic, which probably wouldn't have been too common back then, but played very tight to his man. I mean, if Bobby Rose tells you to play tight, I reckon you play tight, don't you?
Well, you know, that was your job as a backman. You know, it didn't really matter whether you got 100 kicks, as long as you kept your man quiet. And, you know, there were times when I got one of the best and I really didn't really deserve it, but just that my man didn't get any goals. And that's the way it seemed to work those days. Of course, that all changed later on when it became a running handball game.
Yeah.
As you know. Mm.
Absolutely. And you played on some of the all-time greats. We spoke to, I don't want to bring this up to you, Tim, we spoke to Barry Breen last week. On the back of the origin of the foundation of St Kilda, the club, on that day in 1873. You played on some of the greats. Barry Brown, of course, Doug Wade, Peter Hudson, Royce Hart, Alex Jezalinko, Daryl Baldock. It wasn't a very nice time to be a fullback during those days.
No, well, you know, every week you're expected to beat your man. And those players, like as ones you mentioned, Baldock and Hart and Jezalinko, Kekovic, those sort of blokes, they were top players, and you couldn't expect to beat them all the time, if ever. Going back even further, you got a bloke called Paddy Ganane who kicked nine goals on me. and I couldn't do a thing about it. It wasn't all beer and Skittles. But then I moved out of centre-half back and you had a bit more latitude there. You could be a bit more attacking.
So, Ted, I'm interested, like, in these days, you get the players and they get all the film, the tape of the opposition they're going to be up against, the look at the stats and all those sorts of things. For someone like yourself who you fundamentally knew who you were going to play on every week, how did you build information on all of your opponents to know how to play them?
Well, it's funny, you tend to lift your game a bit when you're on a really good player, and therein lies the trap, because you come up against an inexperienced half forward and they'll give you a thrashing. it was always difficult playing on, say, Royce Hart. He would have been probably the best because he was fast and he was tall, whereas some of the other players, they were fast, but not tall, or the other way around. He was fast and tall, and he could kick a mile, as you know. There were players like Jezalinko and Walls and Baldock. You know, they could give you a thrashing if you were off your mark. But you just had to constantly remind yourself to play close. You try to, early in the game, you try to get a few kicks to build up your confidence. And, if you had a bit of luck, it's a lot of luck in football, and football's making the most of what luck you get. And so there were times when, you'd beat them or they'd beat you. But you were expected to play at your best every week.
Any tricks?
Sorry, go on.
It was Ted. I was just going to ask you, any tricks of the trade as a defender that you used to do? Any annoying tactics to try and get your opponents off their game?
Not really. There wasn't a lot of sledging done in those days. You came out and you shook hands and, you took it from there. But you just try and, when the forward is leading, you just try to have sort of some sort of contact on the side so you knew that you knew where he was. And there was no blocking rule in those days, so you could prop and stop and keep them behind you. But, you relied on your pace, really. Most of those forwards were lightning fast. Like, Jezelenko was incredibly fast. We had a bloke called McKenna.
Yes.
And I played on him in practice matches, and he'd give me a bath most times. But he was tall, and you couldn't give him a yard. He was so fast, and people didn't realise that. But, blokes like Baldock, lightning fast, and there was a bloke called Kekovic, and he was strong and sturdy and brilliant, and he gave me a bath one week out at North Melbourne. Yeah, but we had a bit of a stoush too, and he was I won't talk about that.
Right. Ted, am I right in saying that you wore five different numbers at Collingwood? Is that right?
Oh, God, I've lost track. I think there was five, and there was 41, and there was 15. There's probably one other one thrown in there. And I never really sat down and worked out what the rationale was. I think I got number five when I got the job of deputy vice-captain or something like that. So,
yep.
But I don't know about the when I got 41, they must have just been running out of numbers, I think. But,
as long as you're playing in the seniors, it doesn't really matter what number you're wearing. And Ted, I've just come across some information too. You and I got a bit in common, both from Greensboro. And my brother coaches Greensboro in the Northern Footy League. Did you ever play for the borough?
We played under 17s there for a couple of years and really enjoyed it. We always started at 9 o'clock, and it was always usually foggy and wet, and the grounds were a mud heap.
Yeah.
But we just loved it up there. And I don't know, you tend to enjoy your junior footy more than your senior footy, I suppose, because you've got less to lose, and it's not such a big occasion. But we had a bit of fun up there. And Lee Adamson played up there. You remember
he
Lee
did.
On the back flank? He played up at Greensboro in that area. Really enjoyed the junior footy up at Greensboro.
Yeah, well, it's a good club these days, going well in the senior division as well. You went to play for Victoria, inducted in the Collingwood Hall of Fame in 2012. Ted, you mentioned Peter McKenna before. We spoke to him last week. Who was the best player you played with?
Oh, goodness. We had some brilliant players. I don't like to single out names, but we had players like the Richardson brothers. Barry Price, you could just imagine those these days. They'd dominate, I'd say.
Yeah.
We had Terry Waters, who could kick a bag of goals. And, players like John Greening, who unfortunately was taken out and then lost a lot of his brilliance. But he was one of the great centremen at the time. But, we had good backline players like Jeff Clifton, Adamson, as I mentioned, Dennis O'Callaghan. It was great to sort of be in a team with those talented players. You just watch them and it looked good. It was like going to a footy match and watching the game. If you didn't get too distracted, that was.
Yes, that's but, right. Hopefully the ball's down the other end of the ground.
That's right, yeah.
That's right. Which it was a lot of the time. She had a great team and a great career, Ted. We appreciate you spending some time with us this morning on the Breakfast Club. Stay well.
I've got to tell you something. Have you got a minute?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
When I played, times change. When I played my first game, that year I played one game in the thirds, next two in the seconds, and then next one in the first.
Yep.
And because the Spurs didn't play at the same ground that the first played on. We never knew really who was playing in the first. So they had to take me around and introduce me to all the players when I played my first AFL game. how times changed. No draft in those days.
Brilliant. Brilliant.
I thought I'd better put that one in.
Yeah, it's a good little way to dismount, I reckon, Ted. Great to chat to you. You sound like you're sprightly and going beautifully. Look forward to hearing from you in the next couple of years as well. We'll touch base soon.
Good to talk to you guys. All of it.
Good stuff. Bye. Ted Potter with us, Collingwood fullback. 182 games without a goal. The longest streak in VFL AFL history. But as he rightly says, Whitey, they weren't encouraged to get out of the back line too often, the defenders.
No. I think it's KB will always say that it was David Dench that kind of was the first to start to change that as a key position defender, to sort of run and take the game on and move down the ground a little bit more and be more of an attacking option than had been the case before him. So that's what KB reckons anyway.
That's right. And as this miss come through saying 1873, really? For the Saints. Yeah, that's when the Saints were founded, 1873. We spoke about that last week. You've got to listen to The Breakfast Club. Ted Potter was a star, also coming through off the SMS as well. No doubt about that. And a fabulous interview as well.